Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Ted Maxwell, Matt Neely behind the glass. And I say Matt and I are extremely honored to be joined by the Bill Buckmaster this morning. Bill, thank you for showing up. I know you're not used to being in the studio this early.
No, I misinterpreted how much traffic is out there at this hour of the morning. Left at 7:30. Normally, it takes me about 20 minutes to get here, and I did get here just in the nick of time, and I'm so delighted that you invited me. I'm really honored to come down here and be on your show. You're doing such a great job, General. Terrific.
Well, I appreciate it, Bill. The opportunity to be on your show, watch you work, listen to your show. You're one of the mentors that I consider.
Thank you.
Who has helped me out making this transition to side. Now, the best part about this is I'm on the other side this
That's
time.
That's it.
And you're over there, and we're going to spend the next four segments talking about Bill Buckmaster.
Well,
and your life and your career.
It's been quite a ride, and there's still another chapter to go, at least, I hope.
Oh, I know you've got more planned.
I do.
But for us here at KVY, you've been such a mainstay. But you've been a mainstay in Tucson, you know, over three decades, about 37 years.
37.
And then before that, multiple.
Probably another 20 before that, 1967. My hometown is Chicago. I was back for the summer from the University of Arizona, and my father was a prominent figure in Chicago, and he said, you know, can I help you get a summer, some kind of a summer gig? And I said, no, Dad, I want to do this on my own. So I started showing up, knocking on doors at radio stations, and boy, did I hit the jackpot with Westinghouse Broadcasting Company. At the time, was a big deal.
So you grew up in Chicago?
I did. I grew up on the North Shore of Chicago, a very affluent area. I had a very privileged background on the North Shore of Chicago. Went to probably, at the time, certainly was considered the top, a high school in the top five in the country, New Trier High School in Winnetka, Illinois, and was very fortunate. And I started knocking on doors and was fortunate enough to land an internship in 1960, summer of 67, at WIND, Wind Radio, in Chicago. And Westinghouse just had so many legacy stations. KDKA Pittsburgh, one of the first stations in the United States. WBZ Boston, KFWB in Los Angeles, and WINS, WINS New York, which kind of was the first all-news station. And they patented that, give us 20 minutes, we'll give you the world. So it was fun for me just kind of hanging out, and it was a troubled time. In the summer of 67, and yeah. I would go out with the news department wearing a hard hat because things got a little tense in Chicago at that time. But for a kid, I don't know, I must have been about 17 years old. It was very exciting for me.
So did you always know, when did you first know you wanted to get into
broadcasting?
Broadcasting.
Well, I used to throw the ball against the wall, the brick garage there in Wilmette, Illinois. Had to be a certain ball that would kind of give you a nice bounce off that brick, and I would pretend I was the announcer for the Chicago Cubs. And then when basketball season rolled around, I would pretend I was the basketball announcer for whatever. When football season rolled around, I would pretend I was a football announcer. And our front lawn had a series of very large walnut trees, and I used to pretend that each tree was a first down. But I was imagining all this stuff and kind of an imaginary announcer for teams and things.
So you grew up thinking sports announcing, sports media.
I was kind of thinking that way, yeah.
But then you got an internship with a news company.
Yeah, news. And at one point I really wanted to be a disc jockey. I loved music. I still love music. Know a lot about 60s music. And at one point in my career, I was actually doing DJ work for 9 months at a shortwave radio station, of all things, in San Francisco, KGEI, which stood for General Electric International. And they were out on the Salt Flats in Belmont, California, just south of San Francisco. It was a very famous radio station because that was the station during World War II that General MacArthur broadcast to the Philippines that he shall return. And so it was just like a dream come true. Here was this, I don't know how much power they would have, but you would see a whole wall on the transmitters. And it would light up all these tubes. And here I was, you know, broadcasting. I did one little show called myself Bill Stewart. It's the only time in nearly 60-year career that I haven't used my full name. Stewart's my middle name. So I was Bill Stewart. And I was broadcasting this radio show playing contemporary music, and I would get letters from inmates in jails in Central America. Hey, Bill Stewart, would you play something for me next Sunday night? I'm down here on a drug charge or something, and was listening on a shortwave radio. But it was just another piece to just an incredible ride that I'm so fortunate, kind of being at the right place at the right time in my life.
Well, there's no doubt you've seen the evolution so far of radio and of the media. We'll touch on that too. But you were in the Bay Area, I believe it was after you'd been introduced to Tucson. So what's your story about why Tucson?
Well, boy, it's actually kind of a funny story and embarrassing in a way. I had been accepted to several fine universities coming out of New Trier High School. And Northwestern, my dad was an alum there and served on the alum board. And it was just assumed I would be going to Evanston. And he was a star athlete in the 1930s, by the way, a track star. And I thought that was the path. And then a relative was the president at the University of Wisconsin, named Conrad Elvium. Several buildings, including the museum there at Madison, are named after him. So it was either Northwestern or Wisconsin. But then my parents were going through a divorce, and I figured I really need to get out of the Midwest. So Playboy magazine ranked these top 10 party
schools.
Okay,
here we go.
Yeah, this is a true story. And it said the University of Arizona was like this great party school, and everybody had a great time. And I thought, you know, I just want to get away. I had come out here in maybe 1963 to visit some older kids from high school, and they showed me a really good time here in Tucson. And the first time I'd ever seen the Catalinas or been out west, and I really fell in love with it. And I told my dad, Dad, I'm going to go out to Tucson, the University of Arizona. He said, you're going to do what?
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to Arizona. He said, oh, well, that's going to save me a ton of money.
at least he took it well.
I know, because the tuition was so outrageously low in 1965 in Tucson. And when I came out here, it was just like a different world for me. But I fell in love with this area. It took a little while.
Right.
But
it's different. There's
no
snow.
I missed the autumn, you know, and the autumn leaves. In October, and I had a girlfriend at Northwestern, and I took advantage of that American Airlines student fare and would take the red eye out of TIA on Friday nights to go back and take part in her social activities at Northwestern. Okay. I would do that almost a couple of times a month.
So what changed? I mean, what changed? Because that sounds like a path towards, I'm going to be out of here pretty quick and go back to...
I thought I was going to transfer, and I was accepted to transfer in the spring of 1967, but I met my wife, my girlfriend, met Anne.
You're saying you met your other girlfriend?
Yeah, my other girlfriend.
Because you had one. You had one back.
I had one
at Northwestern.
New Trier, and she went on to at Northwestern. By the way, she married the quarterback of the Northwestern football team. But anyway, but this was someone that I met in a radio and TV class, of all things, over in a place called Herring Hall on the University of Arizona campus, which everybody thinks of Old Main being the oldest building. Not true. It's actually a place called Herring Hall. That's where they had the kind of the TV station there, the early stages of PBS and national broadcasting. But anyway, I was learning about television, and our friend Jim Arnold, that's where I first met Jim, Sonny Jim Arnold, in a radio and TV class, in that class. And I also met the young lady who would, 5 years later, become my wife of 51 years. So that changed things.
That did.
And I told her early, by the way, our second date was seeing the Doors at High Corbett Field.
That you saw the Doors?
Saw
live?
The Doors.
Okay, I'm
live.
Jealous.
Oh, yeah.
I am now really jealous.
They had just released Light My Fire. Anyway, I said to Ann, you know, I've been accepted back at Northwestern. And she said, go. It's a great opportunity. Well, that's all it took. Of course, I stayed.
You stayed.
I stayed.
No, I'm not going anywhere now.
I didn't. I stayed, and I'm glad I did. I got a great education, and later went on to get my master's degree. A lot of people don't understand or realize, or maybe have heard, that I do have a master's degree in education, of all things,
right,
from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. But that's another chapter, my time in Las Vegas.
So we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Look at you setting me up with a good
table.
Hook.
Set the hook.
Yeah. Well, I can guarantee you 51 years of marriage.
Yeah.
Congratulations
Thank
on that.
You.
That is,
Thank you very
that
much.
Is truly impressive.
Yeah.
And it shows that your decision to stay at the University of Arizona was good.
It was.
For you.
It was.
And it was good for our community, because eventually that might have helped bring you back, and we'll get to that
did,
when
yeah.
we come back.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. That is the voice, if you don't recognize it, shame on you, of Bill Buckmaster. And he will be with us for the remainder of the hour. So stay and listen to the stories. You never know what you're going to learn about Bill Stewart today. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Voice. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell, Matt Neely behind the glass, and Bill Buckmaster sitting across the table from me on the receiving end of the microphone on this one. Bill, those were some incredible stories already.
How it all started, right?
And we've only gotten you through college.
No. I know.
We've only gotten you through college, but we were talking a little bit about what comes next, and I was just kind of surprised by it. So what did you do right after college?
Oh, well, right after college, I went to work up in Phoenix. Before she was my wife, Anne, my girlfriend, was up in Phoenix. So I went up there and looked all over the place, found a job actually part-time writing advertising copy, doing tire ads for the weatherman on Channel 12 in Phoenix. Anyway, but that was kind of a part-time gig. And then I landed a really nice job for a 21-year-old kid. I became the editor of two monthly trade magazines. One of them was Arizona Architecture, and then the other one was Arizona New Mexico Contractor Engineer, which encompassed going to road jobs all over Arizona and New Mexico. And I had an MGB at the time. Imagine trying to drive to a road job in an MGB. So I'd find the trailer where the superintendent was, park my little MGB, and then the soup, as they call them, the superintendent would take me out onto the road jobs, and I would shoot photographs and write stories about these different projects. And my fiance and I were just in New Mexico for a week. And it kind of was like old home week for me, because I covered so much of that beautiful state and Arizona as well. But I was covering things like the new interchange of I-10 in El Paso. I mean,
hey, interchanges are important, Bill. Don't forget that.
I know, but it was just when I look back and work up in Flagstaff on the interchange with what was the old, well, I-40 and the interchange coming up from Phoenix. That was all happening in 1969, 1970. But it was really interesting. I enjoyed my time. I had five employees, and I was the editor, and I was able to utilize my photography skills, because that has always early on, I thought I might even be go into professional photography. I was lucky enough to have a train under a guy who was a Time Life photographer named George Kew here in Tucson. He was teaching at the University of Arizona. He took me under his wing. He actually sold me his camera, his Leicaflex, which I used on my work as the magazine editor. So I've gone in many kind of many different branches, but it's all been under the umbrella of communication and media.
So you've done print.
I worked for the Associated Press.
Okay.
I spent 8 months in Sierra Vista early on in 1972 at the little radio station down there. It was called KHFH, which stood for Historic Fort Huachuca. And then I did a morning show, a noon news, a 5 o'clock radio news. And then after that, if it's as if it wasn't enough, I went over to the cable station and did a cable TV show from 6:30 to 7. Now, that's something, Ted, you could only do when you're like 22 years old.
I know. Well, you've kept a pretty big pace. Now, cable TV, what year was that?
It was 1972.
So it was just fresh.
Just fresh. Yeah.
So that's incredible.
Plus, we had just married. That was May of 72. And we wound up down there in Sierra Vista, had absolutely no furniture. There was a new quadplex that had been built right by the Sierra Vista Hospital. I don't know if there's a new, I haven't been down there, unfortunately, in a long time, but this was right by the hospital. We had no furniture, so the landlady said, one of the guys from the power company has one of these giant wooden spool tables. That became our dining room living room table.
Literally the spool.
That's where we had Thanksgiving.
That was Thanksgiving dinner
on that table.
There you go.
In November of 1972. But anyway, I did a lot of stringing. In other words, sending stories up to Phoenix of the Associated Press. Very colorful stuff going on at Bisbee and Tombstone. And the bureau chief came down. He said, you know, Bill, you're supplying us with such terrific stories. How would you feel about coming up to Phoenix and taking over the radio and TV wire? And I said, we're gone. We're out of Sierra Vista.
Yeah.
And then I went up to Phoenix. That was 1973. Then I went, but I wanted to get back into broadcasting. An opportunity came to work in the San Joaquin Valley, a really pretty town. I don't know if you've been there, Visalia, California, in Tulare County. And that was fun. Worked as the news director there, and a lot was going on with Cesar Chavez that summer. And the again, being at the right place at the right time, I covered that. And then spent a little time there in Visalia, and then an opportunity came up to be the news not the news director, but the assistant news director in Las Vegas. And that really changed everything for my career.
So you're in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is booming in the
70s. 23 or 4 years old in Las Vegas. And Las Vegas was going from being the mob town to the family-friendly town. And if you want to know what it was like, take a look at the movie Casino with Robert De Niro, and that mirrors my time in Las Vegas. Bodies were turning up all over the place in the desert. It was really a great time to be a young reporter. And a lot of people think Ted Turner was the original founder of a news, all news operation. Not true. NBC had something called News and Information, and we were the station I was at was the NBC affiliate, and we became kind of a charter member of this news and 24-hour news cycle, and the machine had to be constantly fed. So I was feeding stories. I was working 7 days a week, not only covering news, covered 2 Muhammad Ali heavyweight championship fights.
So you were both in front of the camera? And
no, not in front. This is all radio still.
Oh, still radio.
In Las Vegas. But I was doing not only news, but I was doing sports. A lot of the sporting events. Jimmy Connors played some of those tennis, huge purse type championship matches, and I was ringside for NBC Radio the night that Leon Sfinx upset Muhammad Ali in February of 1978.
Hey, guys, we got a quick caller. Marty, and I think you'll appreciate this one, Bill. Marty has a quick story about Bill's early days.
Yeah, I was a police officer in Sierra Vista those early days. And I remember Bill coming in the early morning hours morning to look at the police blotter so he could report on what happened.
Wow. What is your name, Marty?
Yeah, Martin Sanders, S-A-N-D-E-R-S.
Boy, I do remember that. I'd drive my little MGB over there. And we'd take a look at what's been going on. If I found something interesting, I'd do a story on it. Wow, that is so cool.
I remember you, Bill.
Wow, and, thank you so much.
Yeah, you used to come in there every morning and find out what was going on in the community.
Yep. I had a good time, actually, in Sierra Vista. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Marty. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for the call, Marty.
Marty, that's great. It's amazing. Sometimes in life, you don't know the impact you're going to have or the memories you're going to that are going to come up and be brought to your attention.
Wow!
So this is fun.
I'm
sure this will not be the last radio show you're on. There's probably people lining up. We are very grateful to be the first. It's appropriate to have it at KVOI.
Thank you.
And we haven't gotten out of Las Vegas yet, but
there's a lot to talk about in Las Vegas.
All right. So there's the hook.
All right.
Bill Buckmaster, appreciate your time here. Appreciate all you've given to this community. You're going to be missed, but we've got another half hour with you.
Thank you.
On 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. We will be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Voice. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. With me is Bill Buckmaster of the infamous Buckmaster Show. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. First, we've got to go back to Las Vegas. We were talking real quick. It's all about the relationships and the personalities and the people you meet.
Yeah.
So what were your experiences in Las Vegas, and what were some of the stories and some of the things that you learned the most from?
Well, I didn't really know a lot about Las Vegas other than I'd been there a couple of times and knew it was just the bright lights and, you know, Las Vegas, where gambling was pretty much, that was it in the United States. That turned out to be one of the stories when I was there in the 70s, the ongoing story about Atlantic City. Oh my gosh, what's it going to do to our gaming industry? But I did get an opportunity, a guy by the name of Daryl Dreyer, who was, I think Daryl was like the assistant majority leader at the Nevada legislature. So Daryl he'd leave, he was the news director at KORK, Cork, the NBC affiliate, which had in the morning the most incredible ratings. One out of three people in the entire city. I later learned people like Wayne Newton were listening to me after he'd on his way home from doing shows. I know, but it was incredible. I was the news guy, and there was a host called Red McIlvain who'd been an institution in our business, and I learned so much. I'm just this kid. But anyway, Daryl Dreyer hired me because Daryl had to go up to Carson City, the legislature, for 4 months every year. So I took over as the news director when he was gone, and I was the morning news guy. And then Daryl decided he was going to retire, so I became the news director, and I built a really incredible team. I hired a young man just out of high school. His name was Steve Herman. He went on to become Voice of America correspondent, covered Donald Trump in the first term. Donald Trump's not real happy with my friend Steve Herman. and then there was another young lady I hired from Savannah, Georgia. Her name was Jackie Glass. She went on to become a judge, and she was the judge that put OJ away and sent him to prison for the last time. So
it's all about the connections, Bill.
Oh man,
it's all about the connections.
These were kids I hired. They were terrific. But we had a terrific news department contributing to NBC Radio all the time. We were driving into town, my wife and I, in Labor Day weekend of 1973, and there's this horrendous storm And I wasn't even really, had not even started at the radio station, but there was a disaster at a place called Nelson's Landing, and numerous deaths were reported. So I got on the phone with NBC, and that was the lead story on the radio news for a couple of hours anyway. But I wasn't even officially working there at the station, and I was already filing stories for NBC. But what I did in Las Vegas earned me a Nevada Broadcast Hall of Fame award.
Absolutely.
And I'm very proud of that, because you're not eligible unless you've been in the place at least 5 years, and I qualified, I think, 5 years and a couple of months. But to be, that was a terrific honor for me, coming on the heels of the Arizona Broadcast Hall of Fame award. I mean, these, just really happy with it, the way that worked out.
Well, think about that opening story. You weren't even really an employee yet.
No, I wasn't.
You'd taken a job.
I hadn't even taken a job.
And you pulled off the road.
Pulled off the road
got on with NBC.
Found a phone.
Found out what was going on.
No, I was found out what was going on, and then talked to the desk in New York. And oddly enough, the guy who took the tape, as we took the stories, was a guy I later worked with at Arizona Public Media, Peter Michaels. So it's all about connections, isn't it, Ted? In the end,
it is. That has so much to do with it.
Yeah.
And obviously, the honor of being in the Nevada Hall of Fame, mm-hmm, recognized not only your ability on air,
right,
but your ability to lead and put together a team. Because you've talked several
terrific
times
team.
Already about your team.
Oh, the team was terrific.
So I know you went to the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I'll let you save that for
right.
for
sure.
another one of your,
right.
your whirlwinds.
Right.
Because I really want to get back to everything up to this point. It had pretty much been radio.
Yeah, it had pretty much been radio. And so then I went to a friend of mine from our sister station in Reno, had taken a job at an all-news station in San Jose. And he says, Bill, why don't you leave Las Vegas, come up and be my morning man. You can call wherever you want, every day, anywhere in the world. So I took that job, and one of the interviews I did, one of the first interviews, and I was one of the first people to talk with the leader who was holding the Americans in Tehran during the Iranian hostage crisis.
You talked to him
on the phone. And I don't know, maybe we talked for 20 minutes. I was trying to figure out, you know, what's going on? Why are you holding these Americans? What is it going to take to release them? But this was all live. KXRX in San Jose. And then that was fun. That was a great gig, because I call anywhere in the world.
I got to ask.
Yeah.
How do you get the phone number for the leader of a Islamic movement in Tehran and then actually get him to answer the phone?
Oh, man, that took, I don't know. We talked to some people that that the news director knew that worked for the State Department, and we pulled some strings, but it did happen. And I was great. I mean, like Christmas Eve, we called all over the world. What are you doing in Nairobi at the Norfolk Hotel for this Christmas Eve? The phone bill must have been just horrendous. But anyway, that came to a close when the radio station changed formats after we had moved to the Bay Area. Right, 9 months later, I'm out of a job. It's really the only time I was out of a job, and that was only for 2 weeks. And that's how I transitioned into TV. One of the San Francisco stations was looking for somebody to do the morning business report, and I did that, and I had to get up like really early to do that morning show, but it put me on TV. Then I went from San Francisco to San Jose, KICU, which was starting up a major news department, and that was a terrific run that we had in San Jose, because so much was happening. Downtown was complete revitalization, bringing in the streetcar. They got a professional team, which was a game changer. The Sharks, the National Hockey League team franchise.
Now you're talking.
So things really starting to change. And of course, what about Silicon Valley happening at the same time I was there with Jobs and Wozniak and the whole deal.
I'd say a lot of your timing was very good.
It's just been incredible.
You had a lot of foresight.
Right place at the right time. Right place at the right time. So
what brought you back to Arizona?
Well, my sister-in-law had heard that Channel 6, KUAT TV, now known as Arizona Public Media, had let their anchor man go, a guy by the name of George Bauer. And so my sister-in-law said, you guys, you know, you went to the U of A, you liked Tucson back in the 60s, and we thought, yeah, maybe we'll make that switch. My friends in the Bay Area, they couldn't believe it. You're going where? Tucson, Arizona? I said, yeah, there's some, you know, things that money isn't all that important. There's more things than money. And so I talked to the executive producer, who has now become my very best friend, Hector Gonzalez. And Hector, first he says, I can't afford some Bay Area television anchor man to come down here to Tucson. I said, let's not even talk money. Let's just keep in touch here. And we kept in touch. And after a few months, he said, why don't you come down? It was over Thanksgiving, November of 87, and we sealed the deal, and I started the first week of January in 1988. One of my first guests was then Governor Evan Meekum. Evan Meekum
was in trouble yet?
He was in trouble, and I wasn't really up to speed yet on what was going on here, but I'm a fast learner, and we had a great interview on Channel 6, and that was the beginning of 22 years on a program I was so proud of. Arizona Illustrated in those days was a live nightly program, and
you remember what time slot it ran?
It was 6:30 to 7.
6:30 to 7.
Monday through Friday. And a quick little aside, I broke my arm up in Alaska in 2021, and I go into the emergency room at the little town in Seward, Alaska, and the doctor says, I can't believe it. You're Bill Buckmaster. I grew up, went to Sal Point, grew up with my parents with TV trays, having dinner, watching you on Arizona Illustrated. Now you're in my emergency room in Seward, Alaska.
You just never know.
You never know. It's all about connections, isn't it?
There's no doubt. We've talked about that a couple times. So when we come back from the break, Bill, we will go into our last segment. There's a lot to cover, mm-hmm. but I want to get your something about your lesson learned.
Yes.
And why you decided then to go
right
back
to come back
to radio.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. That's the voice of Bill Buckmaster, our guest today on The Morning Voice. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Voice. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. Matt Neely's behind the glass, and he's definitely working to keep me on time, on target on this one, because this interview's too good to let go. So I've got Bill Buckmaster with me, the host of The Buckmaster Show, and he's actually going to even be a little more famous, if that's possible, because on the 16th of December, the county's going to provide you a proclamation.
It's almost embarrassing. I mean, I'm really thankful for it, but there's going to be a Bill Buckmaster Day. This really came out of the blue. I had no idea, but we're going to be there at 9 a.m. With the Board of Supervisors on my birthday, December 16th, and they will read this proclamation, which in effect says thanking me for my years of service, 37 years here in the media, and then they're going to proclaim Bill Buckmaster Day on December the 30th, which is my last day of the radio show. So then I can proclaim that everybody gets the day off.
That's the plan, except you, Bill. You've got one more show
One more show.
One
more show. So that's 4 weeks from today, so I can have a lot of fun still in 4 weeks. That's for sure.
So 22 years.
Yeah, 22 years.
Emmy nominations.
Yeah, 5 Emmy nominations at Channel 6.
AZPM at Channel 6.
KUAT.
What's your biggest takeaway from your time there?
I was just so proud of the team that I built there. Again, I like to build teams. I'm a team guy. We were live 6:30 to 7, Monday through Friday, And we had an arts reporter, Sue Young Lee, who was terrific. We had Ted Robbins that we hired from Channel 4, and Ted went on to work for NPR. We had Peggy Johnson. I knew her originally as Peggy Giddings. Peggy, of course, over at The Loft. She's done terrific things over there. She was our political reporter. It was just a great team, and we were so relevant in this community. And there was a change in leadership at AZPM, and I felt, you know, I stayed with the change for about 5 years, but then I thought, nah, it's not really going the direction I want. And so I decided I would be my own boss, started Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, the owner of the radio show. And then I just decided this way I could kind of use my brand to do the radio.
Well, that's smart, because your brand was definitely had some swag behind it. Mm-hmm. Not only did you get two states, Arizona and Nevada's Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. you also were awarded a Gold Mic Award from mm-hmm. the Tucson chapter of the American Advertising Federation for your time at KVOA. And little known fact, you had an asteroid named after you by comet hunter and author David Levy.
David Levy, that was terrific. And David tells me at the time, I don't know if there's maybe any other broadcaster, but only Walter Cronkite had an asteroid named after him. So just another great honor, and just been lucky.
So then the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah. Did the Buckmaster Show.
The Buckmaster Show came, did it come to KVOI?
Not originally.
Not originally?
A friend of mine, John C. Scott,
yep.
the late John C. Scott,
yep. Another famous voice.
Occasionally a guest on my Friday roundtable on the TV show. I told John, I said, John, I'm thinking about making a change. He says, why don't you come over? He was over at a station called The Jolt, and went over there, and that didn't last. But I do thank John for kind of shepherding me the change from the TV to the radio. But that station kind of went away after a few months. So I went over and talked here to Doug Martin, the then owner at KVOI, and the rest is history. I really have enjoyed my time here. Bustos Media, they've been very kind to me, and I'm really indebted to a lot of people here.
Well, there's no doubt you left your mark here as well. There's so many folks that have either learn from you, who work with you in mm-hmm. this trade. You passed it on. You've, like you said, just because it was your own show, mm-hmm. you didn't stop building a team.
No.
You still were about the teams.
Yeah.
When you came back,
yeah.
and now you were your own
yeah.
show, your own brand.
Yeah.
Anything different? Or did you just do what you'd learned to do?
I just had done what I've always done. I try to be kind, and people say that doesn't seem to work with how could a news person be kind? But I've always felt, I've tried to honor the people I'm interviewing in that they have a story to tell, and it's not my job to judge them. I let the listener, the viewer, that's always been kind of what I'm about. I'm not a combative interviewer, but I get just as much or more information from people by being nice and still asking good questions.
But the key, I think, is you're always prepared.
I am always prepared.
Jim Ninsel and others did an mm-hmm. article on you in the mm-hmm. Tucson Sentinel.
Yes.
And all the different people, from the elected officials to all, they said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You treated everybody with respect, and therefore they were willing to talk to you.
Yes.
And open up.
That's the way it's always been. And that's kind of the way I'd like to be remembered, somebody that really was on top of my game. And I'm not going to be on doing a daily radio show, but I'm still going to be here. I'm going to have a new venture that I'm launching, working with Tucson Airport. One of my clients will be doing something called TUS Talks on their website, a monthly interview series. But it's a new chapter, and there'll be some travel in the new chapter, some community service, and some work.
I'm sure your fiance Darlene has been a good part of saying, "Hey, let's get more time."
Darlene so, is Bill, big part of it.
You've got about 1 minute.
Okay.
Why stop? Why now?
Darlene and I had a wonderful trip over in Idaho, Sun Valley. Then we went up to Whistler in Canada. And you know, that's when I knew that it was time for me to stop, because I did not miss the day-to-day. I mean, I didn't even check the website, the news, what's going on at home. And I knew, I think this is the time, and I'm turning 78 on December 16th, and I think it's time.
Well, you're still mentally sharp. I mean, think of all the names you recalled from today.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going way back.
I didn't miss anything, I hope.
You have a lot to look forward to. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the opportunity to host and sit
Thank
in
you.
For you.
Thank
on
you
the
very
Buck
much
Master
for
Show.
Doing that.
And I appreciate all the conversations we've had about this industry.
Oh, thank you so much.
Because you continue to build an incredible team around
you. I certainly really
you.
Appreciate your friendship. Thank you, Ted.
And I hope you enjoy the next
chapter.
28 days.
Okay.
I know you'll enjoy the next chapter.
Oh, I know. The next four weeks.
4 weeks. Take these 4 weeks. Soak it all in.
I will.
And I know you'll do the great
thing. And I'll see everybody at noon.
That sounds good, Bill.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. That's Bill Buckmaster, Matt Neely. Thank you. Great job today. Tune in with Grant Kruger tomorrow and stay around for Wynn Tucson with Kathleen Wynn right after this on 1030 The Voice.